In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God, we've arrived here at this concluding Mass for our novena of St. Maria Goretti. I pray you've been praying that prayer with us. And if you have not been following it throughout these days here on what your good pastor has left for you on the internet, leading you within this beautiful novena prayers, you've missed out on something great. But don't be lost in distress. As they say, the internet is forever. And so you can go back and catch up on these beautiful things. It is as though he led you through an audio book here. And so to be able to understand more the life of St. Maria Goretti, this great saint for our time, and especially here for our age. I was speaking with what I consider to be a young woman and a young family today earlier as I brought the Eucharist to those who were in need. And as I was speaking to them, they reminded me the last time I came and spoke to you here within this parish, I was speaking upon the virtue of modesty. And so it is as though we are opening up another page, turning the page on the chapter of what we were speaking about before, and being the next time here, though many, many months later, nigh a year, we're picking up on the same topic here with St. Maria Goretti. You know her as this great saint who has given her life for the virtue of chastity, which is a chastening or holding together the passions which are common to man. And so with Maria Goretti, you know her life. Being but a young youth, a one full of joy, full of the Spirit of God, it is said within the writings of her life that she always had the beads of the rosary fingered upon her hands. Indeed, prior to her giving of her testament toward chastity, it says within the writings that she was fingering her beads all the more furiously, such that the beads were always within her hands in every moment where it was not necessary to put them down, at which case she quickly took them back up again. In this, she is like St. Padre Pio. St. Padre Pio, who would come just a little bit later and remind us of that great power of the rosary, he who prayed at all times. And so she was fortified to make a testament to what God wanted for her within her lives, because she was always had her eyes focused upon she who is the model of all virtues. That is to say, our Blessed Lady, who is here. You and I can find strength to execute all virtues that the Lord is calling you and I to do if we would but copy this simple thing to let those beads always be upon our hands. Think of all the evils that you yourself would be able to avoid within your lives if you but had the rosary, if you but had her beads, if you but held Our Lady's hand. That's what it is when you pray the rosary. You are holding Our Lady's hand and letting her keep your hands from going to do that which is evil, going to do that which is sinful. Now, this young woman, Maria Goretti, but 12 years old, testified to these great virtues. She is like unto this, to all those great virgin martyrs of old that we read about in the first centuries, those which are spoken about in the Roman canon, which we have within our church at this time. And so, standing for the truth of this great virtue of chastity, she was able to lead you and I to a deeper sense of what God is able to do within us. Andrew Serinelli was one who was her attacker, 19 years old, against this 12-year-old little girl. What could she be able to do when confronted with him? And yet, what was she exclaiming as her attacker was assailing her, blade in hand? Did this young woman turn and say, "No, I am promised to another"? Did she say, "No, I want to be pure on my wedding day"? Did she say, "No, this is violence"? What did she say? She turned to this man who she had spent so much of her life growing up within the same household with, saying, "No, è peccato mortale. È peccato mortale, Alessandro, no." Meaning, it's a mortal sin. It's a mortal sin. Don't do it. That is a great grace. To not be concerned with one's own life, to not be concerned with one's own faculties, not be concerned with one's own integrity, but to be more concerned for the soul of another. When you and I, brothers and sisters, are tested against sin, particularly this sin, that's what we should think about. What is this sin doing to that other person? To this person who I'm with at this time, to this person who maybe I would like to have a deeper relationship with in the future, what does this sin do to that other person? We can even think of that when this sin happens when we are solitary and not in the presence of another. What does this sin do to add to the sin of that other? E peccato mortale. Don't do it. Resist. We see something even greater than that. Oftentimes we praise her stand for chastity, but it is a far greater thing that happened after the point of her assailant having dealt his 14 wounds to this girl of less years than that. Immediately, when she is carried away and suffers grievously those 20 hours waiting, what happens is that the young curate, the young priest, the young parochial vicar rushes to her side. Why does he go to her? He wants to make sure she ends well. He wants to make sure she receives these last sacraments. What does she want to make sure she doesn't die with? Hatred upon her soul for her attacker. It's an easy thing to wish vengeance upon one who's been one's attacker. An easy thing to wish that one who has so attacked you would receive at least the same blows in which they inflicted upon you. Only such things are natural. But when this curate arrived and began to plead with her, he said, "Maria, Maria, Maria, you are near death right now. Maria, you've got to let go of everything. Maria, don't die with the sin of hatred upon your soul. So pure were you in life. So pure you must go to your God. Release him of all bonds of sin. Release him of anything that holds you back. Let this grudge die here, that your soul might rise to God perfectly. You'll be at his right hand. You dying in this way, just as he died at an assailant's blow. You innocent, so too he." And what did Maria say? She turned to the priest, she turned to her curate there, this vicar who was pursuant of her own soul, and he said, "No, no. Father, I've already forgiven him. I've already forgiven him. In fact, I am offering my suffering up for him so that he might not go to hell." She's not a martyr for chastity. She's a martyr for forgiveness. A martyr for forgiveness. A martyr for letting go of grudges. She's a martyr for not holding on to wrongs. She's a martyr, as all martyrs are, a martyr for love. Love of the other. Love of the other. That's the thing that you and I should praise all the more about this great saint that we have today, that she's a martyr for others, a martyr to release grudges. Think of the grudges which you and I so easily hold on to, the slights which we have, the way in which somebody may do something against you and I, and how we hold on to that. We stew over that thing that they said when they didn't appreciate us or recognize our excellence in some way, and how we stew over that and fume in the way that they gave us a slight. And then put that next to Maria. Put that next to what she endured. This girl of 12. And where do you and I stand? That's what the saints do for you and I. They remind you and I that their eyes were always focused on something far greater, far higher than you and I know even to look. That's why the saints rise to heaven so much quicker, because their eyes are focused on that which is so much higher. They see beyond the slights which so easily cast by in your life and mine, and they raise their eyes toward the heights of virtue and say, "God, I give myself to you. Just as you did, so I wish to do." Their eyes are always on something higher. That's what you and I should focus on upon this day of Maria Goretti, this day where the church pushed before you and I this great saint for our times. See, there are times for martyrdom. There are times when martyrdom is not only something which we can aspire to and say, "God, if you ask me to rise up to the occasion, well, maybe you'll give me the grace." Martyrdom is a duty. I'll say that again. Martyrdom is a duty. This is the way that the martyrs regarded it, the saints of old. The saints of the church holds up high. They testify to the words of our Savior. What does he say? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, he says this. He says, quote, "What does it profit a man if he regain the whole world and suffer the loss of his own soul?" In order to save our souls for that beauty of eternity, we also have to be ready to sacrifice our blood of our lives rather than separate ourselves from God, to separate ourselves from our faith. St. Paul speaks about this. He speaks about it in 2 Timothy, or is it 1 or 2? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. There he says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, well, he will also deny us." When we think about the temptations that seize us, do we keep eternity in mind? Martyrdom is a duty. Martyrdom is a duty. Do you remember St. Dominic Savio, patron saint of boys? He said, "Death before sin. Death before sin." Maria Goretti takes that a step further and says, "Death before I let my brother fall into sin. Death before I let my assaultant to give into greater sin." But martyrdom is a great grace. You have to rely upon God's strength to enter in you and to be able to do it. What happens to you and I when we read the martyrology, maybe, when we read through the lives of the saints, we shudder at these feats that the martyrs were able to go to and say, "How could anybody endure something so great, so vicious as this?" But why should we be afraid? What should cause the Christian, the Catholic, to give into fear in any way? God never asks you and I for anything which is impossible. Not a single thing. All things are possible for God. And all things are possible for those who follow God, who are united to God, those who are baptized into his holy name, stamped with his image into them, if they let God give them the strength. And he always wishes to do the same. When the moment of desire comes into your life, God wishes to raise the soul to the heights of love. What does St. Paul says? In one of my favorite passages in Romans, he speaks thusly. He says in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37, he says, "What shall separate us from the love of God?" The love of Christ. "Shall tribulation or distress? Shall famine or nakedness? Shall danger or persecution or even the sword?" St. Paul says, no. No, but in all these things, we overcome because of him who has loved us. You and I are able to be overcomers over every distress that seizes you and I, even the temptation which leads to sin, especially that carnal sin, because we have the love of Christ. The love of Christ. It says it in 2 Corinthians as well. It says, "Caritas Christi urget nos." That is to say, the love of Christ urges us and compels you and I forward. Most important thing. No one, including yourself, has a reason to become faint-hearted or to fall in despair in the midst of sin. What martyrdom is for you and I is not just merely a grace, it is a superabundant reward. Martyrdom is a reward. Christ assured us of this during his time on life. John records it in his beautiful book, chapter 15, verse 13. He says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends." What saints like St. Maria Goretti do, they take it a step further, don't they? Following the pattern of Christ. Just like Christ, Maria didn't lay down her life for a friend. She laid down her life for an enemy, the one who is actively seeking to destroy her. And yet all she saw was a soul that needed to make it to heaven. Just like our blessed Lord, seeing souls all around him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what it is that they are doing." So we too, at the same way, at least can go the distance that our Lord calls us in Matthew chapter 15, or John chapter 15, making the sacrifice of our life for our best friend, he who is Jesus Christ. Today you'll have an opportunity to adore him, even if you haven't made a good confession or able to receive him. And when he's raised aloft, when he's held up in the host, I'll give you a little intimacy into what sometimes your priest does. Always what your priest does. When he's raised upon high, whisper words of love to he who is there before you. Say to him, "Oh my Jesus, my most intimate friend, you have gone to die for me. So I wish, O love, that I should go to die for you." He is your intimate friend. Confess your love for him in this time when it is easy, and then you will have strength, his strength, to do it when it's difficult. This is why the martyrs said to their torturers with the words of the Maccabees, remember what they said at that great time, they said, "You indeed destroy us out of this present life. But the King of the world, he is the one who raises us up to life." Realize the reward of such martyrdoms can bring for you. To always keep eternity and the bliss of heaven in mind. And then, in light of that, everything else becomes so easy. We ask in this time, O Maria, that you would intercede for us in all of our struggles against sin. Yes, to resist because we do not wish to fall away from he who is our love, but also so that we, by our sins, may not bring scandal to others. It may not lead them into sin. Help us to see this daily martyrdom, to resist against the temptations of the flesh and of all others, to be a sacred duty, to preserve ourselves and to preserve our neighbor. But that this martyrdom also costs us a great price, is given to us at a great grace. That we have no need to fear anything within this world. We can overcome because of him who pours his love into our souls. That even this martyrdom of no to sin provides for us a superabundant reward, far beyond what any eye can see, whatever any ear could ever hear, what anything could ever dawn upon the creativity given to man or angel. That is to say, what God has prepared for those who love him. St. Maria Goretti, yes, martyr for chastity, but even greater, martyr against resentment, martyr for divine gift of forgiveness. Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.